Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Okay, Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Actually, I had an interesting weekend. Went to a concert.
Oh, right. I completely forgot.
I know. I was so excited. I feel like all that waiting around for months and months, and then the day is here, and then it was gone just as quick as it arrived. It happened to coincide with another major concert that was in town.
Yes, it did. That was all over the news.
Oh, my. Fuck.
So you were in the city.
Yes, I was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We didn't drive. We took the train and standing room only because there was a crap ton of people. They had extra. I've never seen it like this. But then again, I've never gone down during like a busy time like that.
Let's just say it was a Beyonce concert.
Yeah. Beyonce. Cowboy Carter, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
It was really fun, though, because the juxtaposition between the Ghost fans, because I went to go see Ghost. So you had like the alternative people or like the goth dressed people with the face paint and all that stuff, and then you had the Beyonce people who were dressed in like cowboy gear and rhinestones and all kinds of crazy stuff. It was really funny to see the mix of fans, but riding the train down was an experience. A girl stepped on my foot and it was really painful.
Ooh.
Yeah, because we were all standing on the crowded train, and when the train moved, she stumbled and stepped on my foot, so that was really great. I know it was an accident, but it hurt really bad.
I stepped on someone's foot on the train once. It was. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
It's because I got lurched forward by the train.
Yeah.
I was like, oh!
And I felt bad because, you know, everybody was packed in there like sardines, but it was overall a good experience.
You know, there was also another concert.
No, I didn't. What else was there?
ATs?
I have no idea what that is. I've never heard of that.
K-pop boy band? Yeah, I hadn't either.
Oh, a K-pop boy band?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you didn't see those folks?
No, I'm out of the loop on K-pop. But I couldn't take any pictures, sadly. Nothing for the Insta.
Why?
Because they actually had a rule where we had to put our phones in locking pouches for the duration of the show. We couldn't open our
weird.
Pouches.
Weird, that's new.
Yeah. Never had that happen before. I don't know. It made you enjoy the concert. Couldn't look at your phone or take pictures, so I guess we had to be present in the moment.
God, you were at that concert. Kelsey was at the first concert of the My Chemical Romance tour at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Are they still touring? That's insane.
They are. She sent me like the entire concert via Snapchat video, and I was like, this is a lot to process.
Wow. That's giving me flashbacks to when I went to go see them back in like the mid-2000s. Was it like 2006 or 7? And I remember Muse opened for them. Because, like, I don't know, Muse being, like, an opening act always tickles me. Because now they're, like, so big. I don't think they open for people anymore. But, yeah, that was my weekend. It was fun.
Oh, is that where y'all got sick? Is the concert?
Well, it was a combination of that. Plus, he just didn't feel well after exercising the day before. And he was go, 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 basically, all week. So, anyway, we're recovered now. Doing the podcast.
You want to hear some listener feedback?
I do.
Actually, first, let's answer that question we never answered. If you could make a filler episode, what Pokemon would it be and what would the twerps do? Do you have a response for that?
Okay, I kind of have a response. I was thinking about it. I don't have like a concrete plot because I'm not a writer.
I don't have a concrete plot either. I just have a vague notion.
I have a vague notion. My two ideas were, my immediate thought, and I'm just going by vibes, my immediate thought was Klefki, because I love
Klefki. Oh! I don't think we ever get a devoted Klefki episode.
Do we not?
We get a Pikachu short in a movie.
Oh, then we need one.
I guess we do.
I didn't even know that. So vibes are right. Okay. No, I was feeling like we could have a Klefki episode, and I don't know, they could get into, like, some wacky hijinks about the keys, or, like, somebody missing their keys. I don't know, it's not very concrete.
Oh, it's stealing people's keys? Okay, that's funny.
Like, you know how, I don't know how, like, trickstery Klefki is, but, you know, maybe it could be, like, the town, everybody's losing their keys, and they're getting frustrated and blaming their neighbors or some crap, and, like, I feel like it'd be a very Johto-coded episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not a Klefki festival, okay? Not a Klefki festival. I kind of feel like it'd be more of like the Yanma episode where everybody was getting mad at Yanma for breaking all the glass windows.
Which, ironically, I think has kind of become an iconic episode for us.
I know.
It's like a default we go back to.
I love it. It popped into my head. So I was thinking like maybe a Klefki episode where it's just going around taking people's keys and people getting frustrated and the twerps have to step in and solve the problem. I don't know. But my other idea was something to do with Applin, because I love Applin.
Ooh, that also has not had an episode.
And I don't know what Applin would do. That is where I was struggling with, because I'm like, I would love to see that episode, but I'm not sure what the plot would be.
They go to an apple farm.
Mr. Douglas's orchard.
Of course, we return to Mr. Douglas's orchard. The ladybug are there in the corner.
Fertilizing the apple trees. I don't know, maybe, obviously it'd be an orchard. Maybe it would be something relating to all the different evolutions and them finding the different apples to help it evolve. I don't know, because there's a bunch of apples, different evolutions. And then you and I think we're talking about Diplin and Hydrapple earlier at some point, and it just made me think of it.
Applin's a good one. We really turned a corner on that one.
I know. I never thought much about it, but now I feel like it's become a favorite that I didn't even know that I liked.
God, it's a pain in the ass in Pokemon Go, though.
Is it? It probably is.
Oh, it's horrible. It's really complicated. But anyway.
Yeah, I've given up on Pokemon Go. Sorry.
Just a little trivia for you. Did you know that in the Ash and Pikachu manga, which I own and I kind of want us to read on the podcast at some point.
Ooh, okay.
The Yanma is referred to as the cowardly god of plagues.
The cowardly god of plagues?
Yes.
Why is that so metal? That sounds so metal.
I don't know, but let's call that Yanma that from now on.
You could never have paid me any amount of money. I would never in a million years guess that. Like, how would you know?
All right, listeners, if you want to hear our take on the Ash and Pikachu manga that was only ever released in English in Singapore, let us know, because I own those.
Austin's a collector. He's got all kinds of obscure stuff.
My goal is to get the Pocket Monsters manga. And only the first few generations, but that is my goal.
Good luck.
That's the one with Ash's balls. Or sorry, Red's balls.
Oh yeah, I remember that. You told me about that.
Oof. Okay, so my answer to this is I'm going to stick with my Flaffy answer.
Oh right, Flaffy.
A Flaffy episode where the twerps go... This is a Johto episode. The twerps go to a Mareep farm... And only one Mareep has evolved into a Flaffy. And all of the other Mareep ostracize it because they think it's ugly because it has patchy skin. Oh. And it no longer has that beautiful mane of fur. And so Brock has to stand up and be like, I'm going to show this Flaffy the meaning of inner beauty like Susie taught me. Susie from Scissor Me Street. And he is going to bring out the beauty of Flaffy and how great it looks with its accentuated fur on different parts of its body. And all the other Mareep are going to love it and be jealous of it.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good episode idea. I like
that. It's a Brock episode. Are you surprised?
I am surprised. I didn't think you'd go for the Brock episode, but it works.
That's it. That's what I got.
Yeah, now that I think about it, Flaffy does kind of look like it's got some mange going on.
We've always said that, yeah.
Compared to Mareep. I mean, Ampharos works because it has no wool at all, and it just kind of looks like a lizard thing.
It's an odd one.
It doesn't look like a mammal. I don't know what it is.
So that was Pokemon Megastar's question, and this week, Pokemon Megastar basically has a bunch of references to fan-produced content for us.
Okay, I'm very excited to hear. Let's see what they got.
first, Pogo Megastar agrees how they messed up Nuzleaf with the stereotyping that we were complaining about. Bad. And then says, the Nuzleaf must be sacrificing the main Pokemon to the Cult of Nuzlocke. The Cult of Nuzlocke is from a Pokemon tabletop podcast called Pokemon Legacy, which is a pretty good listen.
Okay, very interesting.
You know, I've never listened to a tabletop podcast, but I kind of want to.
Nothing's stopping you. Go for it.
I need to listen. I'm probably going to give it a go. Thanks for the recommendation, kind of. Pokemon Megastar liked my idea of James getting a shy Whismur that evolves into a loud
It would have worked. I could see it.
Okay, and also says, when we brought up our Norman Birch father conspiracies, it reminded them of a webcomic, which I looked it up. It's also a Nuzlocke webcomic called Strong Enough, where Norman and Birch are married and they are the fathers of the rival character.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that. And fuck Caroline. Sorry, you gotta get out of here.
Oh my god, I am so looking forward to the Caroline and Norman episode, though. You have no idea.
Oh my god. Yes.
It lives, like, rent-free in my head every time I think about Advanced. Just stay tuned, guys.
Pogo Megastar questions. If May is Austin yelling at Keanu, and Keanu is Alex being yelled at by May, does that make Jacob Max?
I
don't remember what Max was doing in that scene.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was defending Keanu, maybe. So maybe that tracks.
Yeah, I feel like Jacob would step in.
Be like, leave her alone. And I'd be like, no, let me bully her. Am I too mean to Alex? Commenters, let me know.
Yeah, I'm curious what people think. Just so you know, for context, Austin and I have been friends for 13 years plus.
I think you tend to give as good as you get.
That's true. I don't just take everything laying down.
But what do I know? I'm your bully. Also hope Jacob's doing well with his family. Oh, yeah. We'll let him know you said that.
That was very kind. Yeah, we'll reach out, let him know that listeners are still thinking about him and that he should find time to come back for a surprise episode visit or something, or cameo or whatever.
Let's not overpromise. We've tried that before.
no promises. Obviously we can't speak for Jacob and his schedule, but we would love to have him back on for at least, you know, one episode, but we'll see.
Okay, MVPs and LVPs. MVP for the Nuzlocke episode is John Locke, a.k.a. the Nuzleaf from the first ever Pokemon Nuzlocke, but that was referred to as Pokemon Hard Mode. LVP is the writers for using the Nuzleaf as harmful stereotypes.
Yeah.
And the quote is from the Pokemon Hard Mode called, I believe this is all happening for a reason.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means, but it's very ominous. For the Keanu episode, MVP is Keanu Reeves for his breathtaking roles in many movies. And LVP is four kids for messing up the names.
Oh, wow. That's pretty funny. That got me.
Those are out of the box. I like that.
Do you remember when Keanu Reeves was a tumbleweed in the SpongeBob movie?
I do remember that. That was very strange.
You know what? Kudos to him for taking the weird fucking, I don't know, eclectic roles. That's a man who knows what he wants to do with his time. And he just was like, yeah, you know what? Forget those other movies. I'm just going to cameo as a tumbleweed.
All right. So I also got an email from Ben.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ben has a question for us. Have we been watching the anime episodes on the Pokemon TV YouTube channel? The answer to that is no, because we've progressed further than the YouTube channel has gotten so far. But the YouTube channel recently uploaded A Bitter Pill to Swallow, which is the Shuckle episode.
Shuckle-uckle.
Ben says the shiny Shuckle was navy blue.
Navy blue?
Yes.
Navy blue?
Now, Alex, what side were you on? Remind me.
Please hold.
Mm-hmm. You can find the episode on YouTube.
It's Ben blue. Says that
they've been remastering the episodes. What?
It's blue, isn't it?
No, I think it's purple.
It's blue, goddammit.
In the YouTube episode upload, it's purple.
In the YouTube episode upload?
Yes, and also all the other uploads, because that's what it is.
No, I need a picture then. Ben is right.
Just go to YouTube.
YouTube. Okay, you know what? We're going to do this right now. Right here, right now.
I think the canonical shiny Shuckle is blue, but I think the Shuckle in that episode is purple.
Oh my god. Okay, let me go to it. Johto League Champions. Here we go. Okay, let me go ahead. Here's old man Shuckle. Luckle, luckle, luckle. Oh, here we go. Wow, watching this and seeing the old animation style, how nostalgic. Oh, and Misty's
here. We were literally just watching this a couple, like, 6 months ago.
I know.
And you didn't even notice when the animation style changed, remember?
Okay, this picture that old man Shuckle is pointing to is clearly blue. Clearly. All right, now
skip ahead in the episode.
All right, here we go. Now, Spoopy has found something. Okay, it's found the Shuckle under the boulder. It's blue, very clearly blue.
Very clearly purple.
Very clearly blue.
Very clearly purple.
Okay, the twerps are finding Spoopy and Shuckle. What about this is purple to you, Austin?
All the purple parts?
It's blue!
You're wearing a purple tank top right now. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, and this is not purple. What I'm wearing is purple. This Shuckle on the screen that I'm looking at is blue.
The one I'm looking at is purple.
Oh my god, I'm going to take a picture for you right now.
Okay, send me a picture and we'll see if it looks different when you take it a picture of it.
All right, I just sent it to you. You know what I'm going to do? I am going to get the eyedropper tool from my computer.
That is clearly purple.
It is not purple.
I'm taking a screenshot of this and sending it to random people and asking what color it is.
Do it.
And we'll see what people say.
Who are you even asking?
Random people.
Random people.
Truly random people. Like everyone on my contact list. And we'll see if we get answers throughout the episode.
Okay, well, I maintain that it's blue. Let me go back to this picture. Hold on. It's
definitely... I got to vote for lavender.
Lavender?
Lavender.
Never heard of it.
Lavender Town.
It's the same color as James's hair.
James has purple hair.
He does not. What? You know, maybe we all just have differing views.
No, you're all wrong. You're reality. All wrong. Every one of you is wrong. Okay, let's start the episode. We're just thinking forever.
Ben, thank you for agreeing with me because I'm right.
Boo.
Any more listener feedback?
Oh, I'm ignoring this person who says blue.
Whoa, who said blue? Somebody agreed.
Kayla said blue. Ha! And then she said, did someone say purple? And I'm going to say in all caps, yes, I said purple. You are all wrong.
Somebody else agrees with me. That's all I need. Vindication.
Ah! You know, I could have easily just, like, lied and
been
like, purple.
Can't we just compromise and say blurple? Let's just say blurple.
No. I'm a proponent of the truth. It's okay, purple.
Whatever. See, I'm trying to extend an olive branch. I just want everybody to know this and note this right here. I'm trying to be diplomatic and be like, let's call it blurple or plue. I don't know.
She said, it's okay to be colorblind. It's 2025.
Icon.
I'm going to say boo.
Blue? You said blue? No, Austin said it. You heard it here, folks.
Okay.
Blue?
Okay, so our first episode is a Chronicles episode, and...
episode. Okay, well, no, I just want to say thanks, guys, for the listener feedback. We always appreciate hearing from you all, so keep it coming. Any other thoughts and stuff, obviously share that with us because we love to talk about it.
Yeah, let me know if I'm a bully to Alex as she gets the color of the Shuckle wrong. All right, moving on.
Case in point. Okay, moving on. Yes, Austin said our first episode this week is Chronicles episode, Big Meowth, Little Dreams. And we also have our regularly scheduled programming advanced episode, A Metatite Fight. Yeah, so this Big Meowth Little Dreams Chronicles episode is a continuation of the previous Chronicles Meowth episode, right? Which...
whatever that was called, yes.
Meowth and Pokemon, I believe.
All right, let's flip the coin to see who does what.
Yeah, let's find out.
You are doing the 30 seconds.
Oh, good. I don't have to talk about this whole thing.
Yeah, I have a... page and a half worth of notes on this thing.
Are you serious? I have half a page.
I'm dead serious.
No, wait. It's more like a page. Okay.
Okay, all right. Whatever. Get ready to summarize. Oh. 3, 2, 1, go!
We're back in Big Town, picking up where we left off after the zany events of Meowth and Pokemon. He's got 2 vacation days left of his 7-day vacation, and he's finally come to the realization he's not getting his statue. Instead, he's trying to enjoy his lunch, but it gets stolen by a Kecleon, which quickly devolves into shenanigans where we find a missing Azurill, and Azurill takes us on a crazy chase through the city, and Meowth gets his heart broken by a Skitty and gets crushed by a Snorlax.
Time.
The end.
All right, I'm going to kind of speed through this.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say we're not big fans of these episodes, right?
There's not really a lot going on.
These kind of like, we're in a different timeline. Meowth is with the Pichu brothers bullshit.
There's only so much you can do with the same group of baby Pokemon, for lack of a better term. I mean, they're just getting into antics, and I feel like we've seen enough of it throughout the different Pichu brothers shorts before movies or these Chronicles episodes. It's like, what other wacky hijinks can they get into? Like, I'm sorry, we've seen it all.
I noticed in this episode, the Johto Pokemon, they were pretty de-emphasized, I would say.
Yeah, they really weren't front and center at all.
Yeah, Smoochum, Magby, Teddy Ursa, the gang, they didn't really do too much. It was more the Hoenn Pokemon that got the spotlight.
Yeah, that's actually a good observation.
Maybe that's the reason why this is the last one of these.
Yeah, I looked ahead to see like what other Chronicles episodes that we had, and there wasn't any more of these. So, I mean, we don't really need to keep doing them. We moved on.
Yeah, we've moved on. We got the Pokemon Channel special, and that's it.
I can't recall what that one is about, but would it have been better maybe if we had a proper send-off and been like, you know, say goodbye to the Pichu brothers, we've had fun with them or something. I don't know, but
they all die.
They, yeah. Under the pile of tires. Tragic tire pile accident.
Bringing it full circle. Okay, so let's get through this nonsense. Meowth is still in Big City somehow. And he says that he's given up on his dream of a golden statue, and now he just wants a sandwich. But he's still having daydreams of the golden Meowth statue towering over Big City. And while he's daydreaming, a mysterious force steals his sandwich from his hand. Oh my god. I'm assuming you knew exactly what it was immediately, even well, before we saw the red stripe. Yep.
This isn't exactly like something that requires deep thought here.
Yes, it's for 4-year-olds. So the sandwich floats away, and Meowth gives chase. Danny and Arnie are is it Arnold? I don't remember what we called him. What do we call Pichu Big?
Arnie, right? Danny and Arnie?
Danny and Arnie are watching, and they decide to give chase as well. Azumarill is preparing for a luncheon because her little relative Azurill is going to come in from out of town, which raises lots of questions. For example, how did Azurill communicate to Azumarill that she was coming for a visit?
I have so many. Okay, can we pause?
Okay, real quick? All right. Let's analyze this. Okay.
First of all, the implication being there's a family dynamic here with like.
Yes.
An Azumarill. Okay, what is the relation of Azurill to Azumarill? Because I was feeling like a niece or nephew or something.
You were right. The Japanese title for this was Niece Azurill Comes to Visit.
How did I clock that? Or something like that. Oh my. Okay. It was giving that sort of vibe.
But the dub didn't say that. They didn't give a relationship. It was just like, Azurill's coming.
Well, we didn't find that out until after the fact. And I'm like, wait, when did they ever mention that?
They did.
Oh, okay. I must have missed it. That's my
Meowth, the narrator, said it.
My yeah. B, guys. Okay. So that implies that Azumarill has a sibling who has a child. And that this parent has just dropped their child off in the city to find their own way to Aunt Azumarill's house.
What? Great.
Okay.
How are they communicating? I don't know.
I mean, I guess by like Pelipper mail? I have no idea.
Maybe. The anthropomorphizing of the Pokemon is very strange. For example, the fact that Azumarill has the wherewithal to like set up a table sheet and plates and a flower vase and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, she's having like a full-on tea party in the park, which... Okay, that raises more questions later because we see cars and trucks and things driving through the city. Are those humans behind the wheel? Or
yeah.
Because we never see humans, but like, it's so strange. Okay, anyway, whatever.
It is very strange. It's just odd to think of a rabbit setting up a table setting. White Rabbit. We usually see them eating kibble.
Right.
Out of, oh, White Rabbit. Like the, I'm late for a very important date.
I mean, he's going to a tea party. I don't know. It made me think of that. But yeah, no, they usually are. It's kind of like, it's the question of Goofy and Pluto. Like, Goofy is a dog who's on the same level as Mickey. But then you have Pluto, the dog, that is the same as Goofy, but is a dog who eats out of a bowl and is treated like a pet. Which has really horrible implications. But anyway.
Gross.
Yeah.
So the Pokemon are more sentient than they typically are because they're setting up table settings. But it doesn't matter because Meowth and the floating sandwich knock over all of Azumarill's shit, knock her to the ground, and then Smoochum, Magby, and Teddy Ursa are there, and they're like, no wait, it's Wooper is the one who leads the charge, and he also knocks down Azumarill.
Wooper is a force of destruction.
Yes, he is. Azumarill is pissed. So eventually, the sandwich is thrown into Teddy Ursa's mouth, and he happily eats it. And then the Pichu brothers notice there are little footprints everywhere, and they're like, oh, look, the Pokemon left these footprints. And Meowth the genius is like, let me check everyone's footprints to make sure none of you can turn invisible.
This is simultaneously one of the dumbest fucking things Meowth has ever done and the smartest things that the Pichu brothers have ever done.
Yeah, the Pichu brothers were like on their game this episode. What was going on with them?
I don't know. Maybe they were like, okay, we need to give them a little bit of credit. But they're the ones who speculated that this was a Kecleon.
So the stupid Kecleon walks on by with its red stripe on display, and they all go chasing it to, like, an abandoned stage area, like a Shakespeare in the Park type scenario, where a Smeargle is drawing zigzag lines all over everything, and they cannot find the red-striped Kecleon, which I thought they were going to do more with, but they immediately find the Kecleon.
Yeah.
And Smeargle helps out by throwing yellow paint on it. So we corner Kecleon. You little thief, what are you doing? Kecleon leads us back to its weird little home under a bridge or something. It's like under some trash. Oh, it's like in a drain pipe. That's where it is.
Yeah, it's living in those like concrete pipes.
Kecleon is living in pipes and Azumarill's setting up a fucking picnic in the park. I'm just saying.
I mean, I guess you could go into like a whole class divide commentary.
Azumarill's the 1%.
Yep.
All right, so Kecleon has kidnapped Azumarill and is keeping it hostage in its drain pipe.
What the hell?
Just kidding. Apparently, Azumarill was lost because whoever her parent is just left her in the big city, or she traveled by herself and got lost. And Kecleon has been trying to steal food for it.
This thing doesn't have like a collar or some kind of identifying thing.
Collar.
Return to owner if found. I don't know.
Azumarill doesn't even have a neck.
Ew, it's just a head with a tail. Oh my god. Well, thank God Kecleon was here. Otherwise, it would have died in the streets.
Kecleon and the crew take Azumarill over to Azumarill, who is ecstatic. Hooray! She invites everyone to the picnic, which I thought was the plan all along, but whatever. And we all have a happy day. Until the commercial break, in which we get to the second short that four kids combined into one. Because we gotta save those precious seconds of title cards, I guess.
This was way too short to be one episode anyway.
Whatever.
Okay.
So now in the second half, turns out Azumarill was a mistake and should not have come to town anyway because it's just going to cause problems. Danny is trying to steal some food from Azumarill because Azumarill is setting up a second picnic, which I love how Meowth, the narrator, calls that out.
I know. He's like, why are we doing this again? Although I'm not complaining because it's more free food, but sure.
So while Danny is trying to steal some food from Azumarill, Arnie catches him and scolds him. And they look up and realize the Azumarill has run away. And they're like, well, shit.
I feel like we could make a lot of commentary on, like, the wealthy and their excess. And, you know, the struggling working class trying to, you know, take something from the wealthy and then being like, oh, they won't miss it. But then the other one is like standing up for the 1% because we've all been brainwashed into supporting the millionaires and the billionaires.
Well, I don't know. I would say Danny and Arnie, they're like the proprietors of the tire house. I think they're on the upper end of the Pokemon echelon here.
They still live in a tire house. I don't know.
But we've seen the inside of that tire house. It's like a CGI nightmare zone.
Okay, you're right.
Not to mention when they scream, everyone comes running.
Oh, God. Thank God we'll never see more of this.
Well, they're going to scream right now because they scream at the tire house and Teddy Ursa, Magby, and Smoochum show up. And was it me or did they look fucking exhausted? They were like as tired of this as we are. They were like, what do you want, Pichus?
Yeah, they were done. They were like, we have spent our entirety of our existence chained to you and your every whim. What could you possibly want now?
It was too funny. It's like, even they are exhausted of these episodes.
Did they like have a blood pact or something where they can never be released from their servitude or something? Like, why can't these Pokemon just like go off and do their own thing?
Because the Pichu brothers are the one percenters. They're the ones in charge of everything.
So another class commentary where we're all just chained to the machine, can't ever leave, have to work until you die.
You are so bored with this episode.
What else can I possibly say? I'm trying to make fun out of it. I'm trying to make it fun.
Okay, so Azurill's having fun because Azurill is jumping on its stupid little tail ball into traffic and like probably causing an 18-car pileup that we don't see.
Later on the 6 o'clock news, the wreckage and screams of the people and the cars and the fireball in the background.
Then she tries to end it all by jumping into a river, but she jumps off the Feraligatr that lives there and continues on her merry way. What else does she do? She jumps on Wooper.
How dare Azurill?
Do you want to talk about this?
I was so upset. Wooper was just minding his own business in his barrel drum full of water.
That he loves so much.
That he loves so much because it's the only place he can swim, I guess, because you can't go into the river because it's infested with Feraligatrs and shit. So he's just swimming in his barrel, and then Azurill comes and smashes his head, and then the rest of the Pokemon who are chasing after her also step on its head, and it's so sad.
Danny, Arnie, Magby, all of them, they all step on Wooper's head.
And give him a concussion. It was horrible.
Thankfully, Wooper doesn't have a brain to be concussed, because he kind of looks around for a minute, and then he's like, I want to follow too, and he smiles and cheerfully goes on.
He's already brain damaged as it is. Probably from swimming in toxic sludge water, but...
Possibly.
Oh.
This is the one time I felt bad for Wooper. I feel like he usually comes out on top.
Usually he's, like, blissfully ignorant of the terrors around him, and he's just floating on by happily, but this time... He was actually a victim of abuse.
Guy.
I know.
Speaking of abuse, Meowth is playing the role of Romeo because he spots... God. Okay, I was wondering what you thought of this. He spots Miss Skitty, who is up on a fire escape, suntanning, I guess. And she's just enjoying her afternoon while Meowth is like in love with this Skitty. Which, it's always strange when Meowth... falls for a regular ass Pokemon because it's like,
yeah.
Whereas Azumarill's like his intellectual equal, I feel like.
Yeah, there's always this weird divide with regular Pokemon and then Pokemon that seem to have a little bit more sentience. When we have a Lost in the Woods episode, suddenly Pikachu and all the other Pokemon seem to become more capable and intelligent. More
human. Yeah.
And then. You've got episodes like these where it's like, okay, Meowth is clearly leagues ahead of the other Pokemon. But then you have, like, the Azumarill, who's also seemingly sentient. But then you have, like, regular Pokemon like Feraligatr, Houndour, Snorlax. Like, this Skitty. It's weird.
Yeah, the Skitty just appears to be a house cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, she lives inside of an apartment, so I guess her human owners are there. Not that we ever see them.
Mm-mm.
Okay, they do Romeo and Juliet. I was getting more of a West Side Story vibe.
It wasn't really Juliet. She didn't reciprocate anything.
Oh, well. Regardless, I'm getting a Tony and Maria vibe because they're in the city and there's like clotheslines and everything. Anyway.
Oh.
So he decides to woo this house cat. He goes and gets some roses. He steals off a wedding dress display in a store.
I mean, what kind of wedding dress display is this anyway?
Yeah, what the fuck was this? Have you ever seen this? It was a wedding dress on a mannequin that had roses, like, sticking into the train of the dress. It was so weird.
They could have had a boutique display with a dress, but then had, like, flowers around it. He could have just stolen the flowers.
Here, buy this wedding dress. It's full of holes and thorns.
Nothing wealthy people do makes sense. So, anyway.
That's true. Oh, you have a goal today.
I do.
Occupy Big City.
Eat the rich.
Oh my god, is that the title? Okay. So Meowth tries to woo the Skitty. and it's unsuccessful because Azurill is here. And Azurill sees this serenading going on and decides to cause chaos because Azurill wants the roses for herself. So she jumps 300 feet in the air, gets all tangled up in all the clotheslines, steals all the clothes that all the people have put there, appears as if like a vision, steals the roses and leaves the dirty laundry behind in Meowth's hands. And Skitty wakes up and sees a strange talking Meowth offering her dirty boxer shorts. And she is not happy with this, as Azurill sits from its perch with its roses and laughs at Meowth's misfortune.
Okay, I'm kind of curious on your take on Azurill's actions. You kind of mentioned, okay, you know, Azurill wanted this stuff for herself. So it's like a self-enrichment kind of goal. But I kind of looked at it from another way. And I thought, this is a girl looking out for her fellow girl.
Recognizes, she saw Skitty.
Yeah.
She saw Meowth. She clocked immediately what was going on.
Yeah, she's like, okay, unwanted attention. I gotta look out for my girl.
Not even her girl, just a random Skitty.
Yeah, but you know, it's kind of like the wingman. You see it, you're out in public, you see a girl getting hit on, and you're like, oh, you act like you know that girl, even if you don't know her, because she's being harassed. And you're like, hey, oh my god, it's been so long since I've seen you. And then you get the girl away from the bad situation.
That is so funny that we went in different ways with that.
Yeah, see, that's my girl-coded mind.
Okay, I like it a lot better now.
This is a wing girl who is seeing unwanted male attention. Obviously, Skitty is not interested. She's just minding her own business. She doesn't want to be harassed by an incessant suitor who won't take no for an answer. And so she's like, I'm going to make it my mission to help sabotage because Skitty doesn't deserve this harassment.
This completely changes the episode of my mind and makes it way better. It's so much better. Because now Azurill's like Bugs Bunny or something, like as a trickster.
Yes, that's what I thought.
The next thing Meowth does is he has cake, a slice of cake for Skitty.
Is it cake? Is that the next thing?
Yeah, and so Azurill eats it or something? I don't know.
Okay.
So Skitty slams the window shut on Meowth. And now he actually has a little routine that might seem to work. Because now he has seemingly stolen a guitar and has written an original composition for Skitty.
Just what every girl wants.
Okay, there's two kinds of people in the world. People who want someone to sing at them and people who do not want someone to sing at them. Which are you?
I would not want somebody to sing at me in a public place. I don't like the spotlight. I don't want to be... No. If somebody was going to like serenade me, I would want it to be in the privacy of my own home.
Oh, you don't think that would be even more awkward if someone's singing into your face?
When is there ever a good time to sing into somebody's face then?
It's a thing. It's a thing that college boys do. They have a guitar and they're like, they sing a song at you.
Oh my God. Is this like the guy that we had to suffer through when we were in college?
He did not try to serenade us, but he tried to serenade every other fucking girl.
Well, I was a witness to it, and so it was just as annoying. Okay, can we just sidebar real quick?
Douchebags with guitars is a thing.
This guy, you know who you are. You're not listening to this, I know it, but he knows who he is. Was the RA of our dorm building. So he automatically...
He got fired.
Yeah, well, he should have been held to a higher standard, but he was eventually. He used to carry around his stupid... Was it a guitar or was it a fucking ukulele? I can't remember.
It was a guitar.
A guitar. And he used to go like the Pied Piper throughout the dorm area with his stupid guitar and like sing to all the girls because he thought he was so cool and...
And it worked!
Charming. Yeah, whatever.
He nailed all those girls!
Stupid college girls didn't know what they were doing.
You know what? They grow up into stupid women who don't know what they're doing.
There's so many other stories, but I'm not going to go into that on this podcast. Anyway, I was not taken in by this guy, and neither was Austin, but the other girls were, and he...
Not that he would have tried to seduce me. That would have been a whole different story.
He wouldn't try to seduce me either, but that's another story again.
He wasn't even cute.
He wasn't. But he used to, like, sing to them outside at, like, 3 a.m. Like, this wasn't even, like, a reasonable hour. It was late into the night, and it was so... Oh, my God. Just thinking about it.
I have other... stories of girls and women I knew, or girls and women I know. Yeah, I have other stories of girls and women. I can't fucking talk today. Girls and women I knew who have had guys with guitars singing at them. It's in the Barbie movie for a reason. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, Ken singing to her. Yes, I am.
Yeah, they get all the Kens to all do the same thing to them.
And it never works.
But it does, apparently.
Well, not on everybody.
Well, it's seemingly going to work on Skitty, because Skitty's interested all of a sudden. She actually comes outside to the fire escape to listen to the song.
I guess for a minute it's, like, intriguing, I suppose, but then, I don't know.
I mean, I like to think it's just, it's a stupid cat, and it hears music, and it's like, oh, what's this?
Or maybe she's, like, thinking it's funny, and she's like, okay, let me just see this fool embarrass himself.
Oh, maybe. I like your version better.
The cynical version?
So Azurul, sure. Yep. So Azurul is here, and Azurul is deciding to clown on Meowth and goes, Azu, 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 Azu. And so Meowth tries to beat the shit out of it with the guitar, but instead breaks the guitar over Skitty's head.
Oh, my God. This is on Meowth. The fact that he would try to, like, physically assault a child, presumably,
yes,
is terrible.
Presumably the equivalent of, like, a 5-year-old girl or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It didn't work.
So now Meowth is going to murder this child and chases her on the roof. We, as the audience, know that Azurul is invulnerable to all injuries, but Meowth doesn't know that, and neither do the Pichu Posse, because they come up and they come on a vision of Meowth attempting to throw Azurul off a building.
What are you supposed to think when you see this?
Well, exactly. They were actually in the right, I would suppose.
Yeah.
And Smoochum uses Wooper as a gun again and intends to save the Azurul, but actually, in effect, blasts off Meowth. And so I guess that's the end of this, because Meowth says, that's it, I'm done, I'm going back to Team Rocket, goodbye. And the episode ends.
Well, you forgot, he gets crushed by a Snorlax.
And the Snorlax makes its requisite cameo and falls on Meowth. Then yeah. He's done.
Yeah.
Snorlax makes a cameo, the Houndour doesn't. How sad for the Houndour.
Wasn't the Houndour crushed before? Maybe he's really dead.
The Snorlax is moving on to its next victim.
A victim of the mean streets of Big Town or City or wherever we are.
Oh yeah, Big Town, that's it.
All right, well, sadly for Meowth, he will have to continue to be a bachelor and work on his how to talk to women game, because it's not working.
No, it will never work.
It never will. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. Okay, MVP, LVP, and quotes.
I'm going first. Oh, God, I have no idea.
Go for it.
I'm going to go ahead and take LVP Meowth.
Of course.
You convinced me.
Yeah.
What more is there to say? And
wait,
my MVP,
you said convinced you. Who would you have done if I didn't mention anything?
I was going to give it to him anyway.
Oh, okay.
But you really cemented that. My MVP. I guess I'll give it to, I don't know which Pichu brother it was that found the footprints, but I'll give it to the Pichu brothers as a collective, the
okay.
Two of them.
That's fair.
Yeah. My quote, oh God, these are always a challenge.
It's only Meowth dialogue.
I'll go with Meowth saying, boy, I tell ya, whoever said life ain't a picnic never knew a Azumarill.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, those are good choices, Austin. Let me think. I think for my MVP, I'm going to give it to Azurill, just for being a good wing girl.
She's a girl's girl.
She is a girl's girl. She was looking out for Skitty. Total stranger to her, but she recognized a girl in need and she came to the rescue. Under the guise of just being a little, I'm just a little innocent kid, ha ha ha. But she was actually an Azurul with a plan. She was not going to let this harassment stand. My LVP is going to be Azurul's parents.
Oh.
For whatever the fuck this was, because not only did they not communicate ahead of time with Azumarill so that Azumarill could be prepared to meet at whatever predetermined location to pick up her niece, they just, I guess, just left Azurill. They just dropped her off and they were like, okay, good luck out there in the big city.
They know this Azurill. They know she can handle herself. She was manipulating that Kecleon for free food.
Maybe so. Oh my God. Maybe they did drop her off at the aunt's house or told her like, okay, we're dropping you at the park. Just go right in and, you know, Azurill will be there with the park or whatever. And she just, like, fucked off and started getting into trouble. Still, my MVP stands. I think she deserves it.
Okay.
I mean, as a plot driver, too, because without her, we would have just been standing there doing nothing.
You know what I just realized?
What?
This is probably the most Azurul ever does in the entire anime.
Probably.
That just hit me all of a sudden.
I know Meryl was, like, a huge deal back in the day, but to be honest with you, I mean, I could take or leave Azurul. Like, whatever. I never really was a big fan. I'm sorry to all Peekaboo / Meryl fans out there.
I think it's cute, but it's not anything to write home about.
No, it's not groundbreaking or anything. Although, I don't know, I do love it, thinking about early days of Pokemon and like all the speculation in the days before the internet and the way we have it now, and just like what people thought about stuff like Peekaboo or the Mew under the truck, or God, any other number of fan speculation back then. I don't know. Okay, MVP, LVP. Just my quote, right? Is all I'm missing?
Yep. What Meowth quote do you have for us?
I guess where he's talking about being sabotaged in his attempts to romance Skitty, and he says, "A ball of laundry? A meteor from outer space? Nah, slow-mo revealed it to be none other than little Azuril. But all Skitty saw was me standing there holding a pile of laundry. And as we all know, no one likes to be romanced by a pile of boxer shorts."
I have a... actually might disagree with you on that, but okay.
Is this like the MeUndies thing?
Yes.
Oh my god. How did I immediately think of the MeUndies?
There was just underwear everywhere. Okay.
All right. Well, that was great. Thanks, Austin, for the wonderful summarization of that, our last Meowth Chronicles episode. Fare thee well, Pichu brother. Well, no, not entirely.
We still got one more to go. We've already seen it, but we got to rewatch it, I guess.
Okay. Almost. We're in the penultimate episode. We're almost there.
The grand finale.
Oh, yep. Stay tuned for that. It's coming. Next episode. Unless you have any final thoughts on that.
No.
No. Okay. On to a Metatite fight. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1, fight!
The twerps meet Shauna, who's a Battlegirl NPC, and she seems to think that Brawly is in love with her because she's delusional, and she's here because she tracked down Ash to battle him, but she kind of sucks at it, and a hurricane comes, and Brawly's here, and he's like, let's go escape the hurricane. And somehow this teaches Shauna a lesson about, I don't know, being humble or something. And so she becomes Brawly's new apprentice. And we're going to do a rematch with him next episode. Okay.
Yeah, what an episode.
What do you think of this one before we start?
Eh.
Yeah.
I mean,
There were parts of it I liked. But I think the main plot was pretty underbaked.
Point out the parts you liked. Because overall, my impression is just like 4 to 5 out of 10. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's middle of the road. I'm not like, oh my god, I hate it, but it's not like the best either, so. All right.
Not the best episodes this week, but
no,
okay.
It's okay. Sometimes you gotta sort through the chaff to get to the wheat. I don't know.
The shitty Pichu episodes.
All right, so the Brawly arc continues because we have spent the last god knows how many episodes fucking around as we prepare for our rematch with Brawly. Ash is back to his wave training with all the pokes, and they're doing...
Which I liked.
Yeah, they're doing their dodge the waves, find your inner zen, be aware of your senses kind of thing, which I like it. I'm with you.
Yep.
Character development.
That's the part I liked.
Yeah, which we can talk about a little bit more. Brock always doing the labor of the group. He's slaving away over the stove and... preparing the camp, and I don't know what Max and May are doing, but he's like, it's time for breakfast, guys.
Brock stew again?
I know, again?
Brock stew for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner? God damn.
Can we really complain? If you're getting free food made for you whenever you're done training, like, who cares what it is? I mean, Brock is going out of his way to do that.
No, I'm going to complain. Brock, why don't you use your drying pan and make you up some flapjacks or something? I'm tired of this Brock stew shit.
Okay, fair enough. They sit down to eat, but before they can really dig into Brock's stew, this girl comes surfing up on a giant wave. And she's like, hey, you're Ash Ketchum, and you're gonna battle me. But she gets made a fool of because the wave, like, hits her, and she gets soaked to the bone, and it's hilarious, haha. She is really rude, so I'm not, like, too sad for her. Because she just rides up and is like, pay attention to me. She introduces herself as Shauna, the battle girl. And all I can think of when I think of Shauna is the character from X and Y. Shauna.
Oh!
You know.
The lesbian girl.
Yeah. Who's
I
like
forgot about her.
In love with your character.
Yes. The one who brushes the Bulbasaur.
She brushes the Bulbasaur?
Okay, this is a minor meme.
You'll have to remind me. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
God, when are we getting X and Y remakes?
Okay, so this is an image from the XY anime of Shauna with her Bulbasaur.
Oh, my God.
And she is brushing the bulb.
You mean you don't brush your Bulbasaur's bulb?
But someone commented on it on, like, Tumblr or whatever, and the comment says, "Yas, bitch, you brush that cabbage."
Yes.
It's so ridiculous when I think of it every time I think of Shauna.
It really just makes you think about, like, the textures of what Pokemon's body parts are, because wouldn't this just be, like, a cabbage? Yeah, like a cabbage.
Like a bulb.
How would you be able to brush it? I don't know. Ugh. Let's not think about it too hard.
Okay, so wrong Shauna. Sorry.
Shauna. Yeah, this is a different Shauna. No relation. She knows who Ash is, though, because she proudly proclaims herself to be Brawly's quote-unquote top apprentice, and also his loving girlfriend. Interesting.
Conflict of interest there.
Yeah. What kind of operation is Brawly running here? But Brock immediately smells some bullshit, and he comments that she looks awfully young to be his top apprentice, and makes no mention of the fact that she might be a little too young to be his girlfriend also, but, you know.
All right, there's so many layers with that quote. We gotta should we devote the time to look at it?
But dissect away, because I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's a joke on purpose, for sure. Of course, that's some poor kids dialogue. Ash says, "You're Brawly's apprentice?" And May says, "And his girlfriend, too?" So they lead it up directly to Brock's line. They leave on the girlfriend note, and they trick you, because Brock says, "She looks awfully young to be Brawly's top apprentice."
Yeah, the delivery makes the line.
Would it have been too much to say she looks too young to be his girlfriend, but they had to say so otherwise?
I think the joke is it's like the negative space. She's a kid. She's like Ash's height, obviously even younger than Brock. And any child watching this isn't going to clock this, but any adult watching can read between the lines and be like, okay, she's obviously too young to be both of those things. And this is obviously a girl who is not his girlfriend. She just
thinks this speaks well. This speaks well of Brawly. Yes.
Yes. This is a girl who has a crush and has fantasized about their relationship, and it's not based in any reality. But she challenges Ash, who cannot resist the call of battle. But of course, the growling stomach trope interrupts, and they're like, oh, well, haha, it was so funny. We should eat breakfast first. So she helps herself, and they're like, this girl's kind of weird, but whatever.
We got plenty of Brock stew to spare. Feel free to go for it.
Nobody wants to eat that. Anyway, Team Rocket is spying on the twerps from the Magikarp sub, and Meowth has a brilliant idea to dig a bunch of holes. Because why the fuck not? If they're distracted by Brock Stew and battling, they can just dig away and nobody will notice.
This went nowhere, right?
No, it didn't.
I didn't miss anything?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Don't pay too much attention to Team Rocket. They don't do much. May and Max notice that Ash and Shauna are basically like gender-swapped versions of themselves. They're like the same person, which they find amusing. But they get into a little bit of a rivalry, but Brock puts the kibosh on that real quick because he's like, Ash, you're not getting out of doing your dishes this week. It's your turn and you're gonna freaking do your chores. So Ash and Shauna get into a scrubbing match instead of a battle, which is hilarious. Meanwhile, while he's out gathering sticks for firewood, Brock, like Pikachu earlier, there was a small little instance where they look out to the horizon and they're like, there's an interesting aura on the wind. Something unusual is brewing. And we see kind of a little peak of a gray cloud kind of like coming through.
Very Orange Islands coated.
I know. When there's like a storm every 5 minutes. He also notices a bunch of Pokemon scurrying for shelter. The Pokemon always know. And animals in real life. Like, if you ever see, like, a group of animals, like, fleeing somewhere, they know something's going on. So, on the beach, Ash and Shauna are getting into a battle. And it's Pikachu versus a new Pokemon that we have not seen before. Metatite.
Boring.
I was gonna say, what do you think of Metatite?
Boring.
It looks like it has on a diaper.
It does look like it has on a diaper. I guess it's meditating for so long it needs one.
Metatite was never my favorite. I don't really care for Metacham either.
It has a cool type combo. Fighting psychic?
Yeah, I guess. Brains and brawn. Let me see. What does Mega Medicham look like?
Medicham, I'm not a huge fan of. Mega Medicham, I think, is way better.
Oh.
It's like a psychic combatant thing.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm glad it got a Mega. I think it needed one.
I mean, it's kind of potentially committing some cultural appropriation there.
Yeah, it's definitely got some aesthetic going on. I've never used one. It's never really a Pokemon that I ever really think about, but it's here. It's made its debut. Brock is analyzing the battle, and I think, to your point earlier, this is kind of where we get mention of Ash's growth as a trainer.
This is the part I liked.
Yes. This is him focusing on strategy and defensive moves, but Shauna is more pre-character development Ash, in which she just tries to brute force her way through everything.
It's literally the exact opposite of the gym battle.
At least he's learned a little bit in all their adventures around this island. So Ash is doing really well, actually, and he's just about to be victorious, I think. But Brawly himself pops out from behind some bushes and is like, oh my god, I'm so glad I found you guys, because there's a Mondo hurricane headed right for us.
See, I want to like Brawly because he was so thoughtful. He was like, those kids from earlier are still here and they don't know there's a hurricane coming. I gotta go like seek them out and be nice to them. And Shauna's here too, I guess. Hello, Shauna.
Right.
But Brawly's so goddamn annoying that I cannot like him.
Poor Brawly. He's just a victim of being the way he is. I don't know.
With his Mondo tubular radical hurricane wave.
Awesome sauce. Surf's
up, Brawl.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't want to Humunga Dunga it and surf it, but he's smarter than the average Jan.
Brawly knows. Okay, Brawly does give us a nice little speech later, and he definitely is smart and recognizes the destructive power of nature. So he's like, the only thing to do in this situation is to seek shelter. We are not getting through this by sheer force of will or anything.
I'd rather have the somewhat pretentious stoner dude in my dorm than the serenading the girls with the guitar dude. Which there is some overlap there, potentially. But I'd rather have Brawly than Meowth.
That is true.
In my dorm.
Absolutely. We barely had time to react to this before the storm is, like, here. It's moved incredibly quickly. It's already raining. Along the way to this cave, because there's a convenient cave nearby, Brawly's like, let's go take shelter there. But we gather up some scared Pokemon who have not found a place to hide.
Were these the same three Seedot from before?
Were they?
Did they already drain that one forest of its resources and were looking for a new one?
These hapless Seedot that just cannot seem to make a home for themselves? Yes. I want to believe that it's them.
Good.
We have saved them so that they can go and devastate another part of the ecosystem later. Great.
I think they caused that landslide.
They did.
You know what they did? Is they drained all the trees and killed them all. And the trees were not able to hold up the cliff any longer. And that caused the landslide to happen. And now, you know what they've done? They've caused a hurricane. They caused a Mondo hurricane to come.
It's
somehow.
All their fault. I would blame it
goddamn
on them.
Goddamn Seedots.
I feel like they have a hand in it somehow. I don't know how, but they did.
Okay, I got a Shuckle update.
Oh, God. Alert.
Someone says violet with a slight hint of blue.
So Blurple got it.
Ah, violet. I've gotten violet. I've gotten lavender.
You've gotten blue, too, so don't forget to mention that, conveniently.
I sent it to more people. I need more replies. Okay.
Didn't we do a poll and it was like 50-50, so it wasn't like helpful?
I think so, but it was like 4 votes or something.
Well, Ben said blue, so there you go. Team Rocket gets sucked up by the storm and gets blasted off, whatever, goodbye. And just like in the Fellowship in Lord of the Rings, Gandalf leads them through the Pass of Karadhas. Brawly leads the twerps through this treacherous pass.
Uh-oh, this isn't going to go well for Brawly. He's going to become Brawly the White.
I know, he's going to fall to his death. No, that doesn't happen in this part. They have to go back through the mines of Moria, and that's how we end up where we are. Anyway, they're on this, like, really treacherous cliff face on this tiny ledge, and they're going to slip and fall because it's all muddy and shit. And so they're all holding hands so they can all fall together instead of individually. So May and Brock are like, oh my gosh, Shauna, why can't you take Brawly's hand? We all need to hold on to each other to get through this. And she is so embarrassed. She's blushing and she cannot take his hand. And May is like, well, what is wrong with you? Can't you hold his hand? You are his girlfriend after all. Much to Brawley's abject horror, he's like, what the frick? What? I am nobody's boyfriend here. And Shauna is absolutely mortified because she lied about everything. And so she yells out that she might not be his girlfriend now, but by golly, she will be one day. One has to wonder what Brawley thought of that.
He's used to it.
He's got thralls, and, or he's
he
got
like 30 girlfriends already.
Falling all over him. So Team Rocket is back. If you thought they were gone for the rest of the episode, surprise, no, they're not. They fall back to Earth, and they have landed with the twerps. And they're like, oh, can we please, like, shelter from the storm with you? And they're like, sure. So they all make their way into this cave, and Brawley's like, okay, well, it should be over in, like, a day, so let's just wait and sleep in this cave. Which sounds miserable, by the way. We get the nice Brawley wisdom that I was talking about earlier, where he imparts some surfer bro knowledge onto us about the power of nature and that it's futile trying to assert dominance over it since it will win every time. So you gotta be smart.
Yeah, Brawley's not dumb by any means.
No, he's actually got a brain in that pretty head of his, I guess.
Under all that hair.
The next morning, Team Rocket just can't help themselves, even though the twerps were really nice to them and let them huddle up by the fire. And if you thought we were having like a nice bonding moment, Team Rocket has an addiction. They just can't help. So they're like, we challenge you to a battle, and it doesn't last very long at all, so I'm not going to talk about it at all. They get blasted off. Shauna is like, let's just have a battle just one more time, Ash. I've learned a lot from our ordeal in the hurricane in the cave, and I think that I have also grown as a person. And it's clear that she has revised her strategy.
I thought this was unearned.
You want to talk more about that?
I really don't have anything to say other than it's just like she changed her mind and now she's not going to go all out in her battle and focus on winning. She's going to go with the flow like Brawley said or whatever. And that's it. Lesson learned. I was like, there could have been a bit more to this somehow. I don't know what exactly.
I guess I can feel where you're coming from with that. But Brawley did make a comment to the effect of she's had Meditite ever since she was a child and she's always been this way. So, I mean, her kind of changing her attitude...
Over one night.
I mean, I don't know if you want to argue that, yeah, it took a real introspection to undo years of the way she's done stuff, or if she's just, like, parroting Ash and doing what Brawley wants, or what she thinks he would want to see. I don't know.
It was about Brawley, not about her.
Yeah, it really did. It felt that way. Like,
yeah,
she wanted to impress him, and so, of course, she's going to do what she thinks he would want her to do.
And maybe it could have been better if we saw Meditite's point of view.
How so?
Like, Meditite didn't really do much. It just kind of showed up a couple times and did a little battling. Maybe it could have had a perspective to impart.
Maybe there should have been an instance between Shauna and Meditite during the storm where it was in danger or something. And, like, she could have done an Ash thing where she's putting herself in danger to rescue it, and Brawley's like, oh wow, she's got resolve, she's definitely ready to be an apprentice. I don't know.
Or like she's having like a panic attack because the storm and the Meditite calms her down or something.
Either way, yeah, I see where you're coming something. From. Anyway, I guess I agree with you. It is unearned. Basically, they do fight. She changes her strategy up, but in the end, Ash is victorious because he uses his wave dodging training to win ultimately. And Brawley just, I guess, decides that Shauna's ready to be an apprentice, and she's very happy about this. And Ash asks for a rematch against Brawley, and he's like, yeah, my man, looking forward to it. And,
Hundo P.
And so he's like, yeah, we can battle again on this little outcropping of rock that's over there that you have to walk across a land bridge to get to. Totally tubular. The end.
Dude. I don't know enough surfer lingo to even, like, do this, but okay.
I don't know any surfer lingo either, so sorry to any surfer guys out there.
We are landlocked as fuck over here. All right, time to flip the coin.
We don't I'm live going in first, SoCal, again. If it's not obvious.
Well, I think people knew that.
All right, go first. All right.
MVP. I will give my MVP to, who shall I give it to? Ash, for all his training paid off.
Yeah.
He's doing much better than he was when he was somewhat out of character, losing his goddamn mind,
Brawling Brawly.
Maybe that should be the title. Maybe that's next episode. I don't know.
Okay, think about it.
My LVP, I will give it to the 3C dot for causing the Mondo Hurricane to happen somehow.
Butterfly effect somehow.
It's always them. Yep, those goddamn seeds. Climate change, something was caused by acorns.
Nipples.
My quote, it was caused by nipples all along.
Yep.
My quote, you might be mad at me for taking this one. Meow says, I propose we go even further and add a few extra holes. James says, why not? The holier the better is what I always say. And Jesse says, amen to that.
That is cute. That wasn't my quote, though.
Oh, okay. I thought it was so good.
That was funny. Amen to that.
Good for kids script writing on this one. I will say that.
I miss them so much. Ugh. My MVP. I don't know. Gosh, I'm really struggling all of a sudden. I guess I'm going to give it to Brock.
Oh.
I don't know. Brock, because he didn't let Ash get out of doing dishes.
Okay.
I don't know. Hold Ash accountable. That's what I say. My LVP is going to be... You know what? I'm going to give it to Brock again.
For Brock Stew?
Well, yeah, for Brock Stew, but also because I think Pikachu gets a little bit more of a pass because, you know, he's a Pokemon. But Brock noticed something weird and he didn't say anything to anybody else.
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
I feel like if you notice something's off, just say, mention it. Like, you don't have to know exactly what's going on. Be like, you know, hey, guys, like, I got a weird feeling. Like, does anybody feel the same way? Like, what do you think about that weird dark cloud over there? Like, I don't know anything.
Brawly wouldn't have had to come all the way out of his way if Brock had just been like, okay, let's go back to town now.
Yeah, like, let's just get a head start and pack it in. And I think something may be rolling in. We gotta skedaddle. My quote is the only one that I have written down. And it's when Shauna and Ash are kind of bickering back and forth to each other. And she says, well, I happen to hear from Brawly that you're quite the trainer. And Ash is tickled and he says, you did? He said that? And Shauna says, suggesting that you're better than me. And Ash replies, well, that's not my problem.
I am going to call BS on Brawly talking about Ash as a good trainer to other people, though.
I know. I don't think he would.
Brawly has no reason to believe that.
Maybe she's fibbing a little to kind of riz him up to... I have no idea.
I don't know. Maybe Brawly looked him up or something. I don't know.
Well, I feel like Shauna's doing an awful lot of, like, assuming. So maybe she just assumed that Brawly... I don't know. We can't know the mind of Shauna.
No, we cannot.
Anyway, that's it for that. I think I don't have any other thoughts on that. It was just an average episode.
Yep.
What do we have next week, Austin?
Next week, we have the conclusion to the Brawly story arc.
Oh my god, finally.
It's called Just One of the Geysers.
Just One of the Geysers?
Yeah.
I kind of love that. All right, what else?
And we have Abandoned Ship.
Okay, I have no idea what that was, what that will be about.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What in Hoenn could be Abandoned Ship?
Are we in Slateport? No. Yes, no. No, I don't know.
We'll get there next week.
Oh my god. Whenever
we record. Okay.
We'll all be surprised together. Or not, because you guys might be like, you are so dumb. Of course I know what's going to happen.
I love how you, like, genuinely do not look up the next
episode. I don't. I literally don't.
You're like, whatever Austin says.
I want a pure, unadulterated experience. I just do what Austin commands me to do, and that's what I do, so.
See, this is why people think I'm a bully.
Blue.
Purple.
All right. I got any
updates on my phone? Ooh.
Nobody has said anything else.
Oh, no. People are texting me other stuff. Okay. Sorry.
Great. All right. All bye. All right. Well, that was really fun. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so. You can reach out to us at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on our social media. We have a Blue Sky account that Austin posts really funny stuff on. Check us out. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram, same handle, @outofthedryingpan. And also, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, we would super appreciate it. It helps us out. If you want to support us, we have our Patreon. Check out our Patreon link in the description. We got all kinds of fun bonus content that you may enjoy. We would appreciate that as well. And like I said, as always, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.